Our weekly interview with Greg Ruberg, CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital and regular on the station since COVID began in March. Thank you so much, Greg, for calling in this morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, so, Greg, let's see, it's been about a week since we've talked, and why don't we just start with the basics? Give us some Lake County updates.
Yeah, some great news to share about Lake County and what all of our listeners are doing to really help get a handle and control COVID. So we are at 507 total cases now, dating back to when we started. We just had one new case yesterday. So over the last probably week to 10 days, we've been averaging anywhere between one and five cases per day, which is significantly down from the mid-20s, which we were at a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so this thing has certainly ebbed and flowed. And I guess, you know, there's probably no way to definitely know, you know, where exactly that comes from, because several measures have been taken. We've had no school, no sports, and the bars and restaurants. Can you give us any sense? I mean, I know they, you know, everyone's hoping to reopen schools, and I'm not asking you to place a judgment on when that would be or how, but just do you have any thoughts about how that can interface with the way our city, or the way just the state is functioning right now?
Sure. Yeah, this is a question I've been looking at daily, and especially over the last week or two, and I can kind of share some perspective from, you know, I would say kind of Lakeview's perspective. We had a discussion with our provider team of physicians and nurse practitioners this morning, also for public, our local public health partners, and also from CEOs across the state of Minnesota on kind of what we're seeing. We had a call with Governor Walz here just not too long ago, talking with him directly about it as well. It's interesting when you look at specifically, I'll speak to Lake County first. I would agree with you that the governor's recent order has had a positive impact on cases and spread of COVID in our community. Now, granted, that became a very political event and a lot of criticism from all kinds of different people and angles. But what we saw is when the bars closed and the restaurants restricted the indoor dining and sports were kind of paused, I think that played, no question, that played a role. I think the other part of that, though, is I think our community, at least here in Lake County and some of our neighboring counties like Cook County, have really taken this seriously in terms of wearing their mask, you know, all the social distancing stuff we've talked about for month after month. And I also think people made some really good decisions around the holiday of Thanksgiving. You know, there was some expectation that cases were going to rise because people were going to kind of defy orders or recommendations. And, you know, I can tell you the majority of employees that I've talked to here at Lakeview and people in our community said, you know, we really kept it low-key. And if we did get together with limited people, we wore masks and we separated and, again, try to follow all of that guidance that public health has put out and also the governor and others. So I think if you take all of that together as far as people being more educated about it, people being more willing to follow guidelines, some kind of restrictions that were put in place, all had an impact. And I keep going back to what it does is it frees up medical resources, beds and staff, so we can care for other people that need care. So I keep repeating, if you don't believe in COVID or you feel like it's, you know, it's whatever your thoughts are about that, you still need to do the right thing to care for your family and neighbors because they might have other medical needs. And people are doing that. I think we need to celebrate that. But at the same time, we can't let up and say, well, now it's a free-for-all because our cases are down to one. It's all gone.
Right.
We're in a very good position with the vaccine coming, but we still have to keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, and it seems also to highlight just the, it's not only what you're doing, it's how you do it that is critical. And it seems like maybe every time things reopen, people are just that much more aware of how to do it as well as what to do, and that will, I would hope, continue to increase the better outcomes.
Yeah, and I think around, you know, when I look at our employees too, we really were struggling a couple of weeks ago with our employees and community exposure. We felt very comfortable with our employees at work caring for COVID patients, both in the clinic setting, and we admitted COVID patients at Lakeview because there were no other beds to send these patients to. We had COVID patients in our ER that were transferred out to critical care or ICU. So, and we were able to do that safely. We can disinfect rooms. We can protect our staff. What was hard is when all of these other activities were going on, people were getting exposed at home or in the community, and it had a big impact on our workforce. So we need a workforce to care for our community. We just feel much better positioned now with lower numbers and less strain on the workforce to be able to do that.
And that's very encouraging to hear. And then you mentioned, let's talk a little bit more about the vaccine that we talked about it last week. It seemed like a rollout was imminent. What's the update on that?
Yeah, so great news on the COVID vaccine front. So we're getting our first doses of COVID vaccine on Monday morning. And so we're going to start rolling out our COVID vaccine for this phase 1A, which is frontline healthcare workers. And, of course, our physicians are all on board. They're all getting it. the ones that are, you know, that, and our nurse practitioners as well, and our physician assistant and other staff. So what we do is we have a limited number of doses that are coming. We actually have 41 in the first shipment for healthcare staff, and we expect, you know, we'll do that Monday and Tuesday, and we'll be out of those, and then we'll wait for the following week for our second allocation, and that will continue week by week. So, you know, I've had a lot of discussions with our experts, our physicians, and other providers about the safety of the vaccine, and you know, they're all very comfortable getting it. They've from a medical standpoint, they've shared their perspective on kind of the research and all the studies that they've read, and so I feel very comfortable. And I've shared before, I'm getting mine as soon as I can. Mine will be down the list because I'm not a frontline healthcare provider anymore, but I will certainly be getting it.
You make it sound like we'll get a certain amount every week. Does that mean the second dosage of the vaccine or a new set for a new set of people?
Yeah, so we'll get so each week we'll get an allocation of for new people, so expanding who we're able to vaccinate. And what will happen on the Pfizer dose, I'm sure people have read about this, the Pfizer dose requires a second vaccination 21 days after the first, and the Moderna requires one 28 days after the first. And so what will happen is each week we'll get an allocation to expand our vaccination to our employees, and then when it comes day 21, we'll get another allocation to give that second shot. So we're not going to hold inventory just waiting for 21 days. We're going to keep vaccinating to really make an impact, and then the health department and others will coordinate that kind of second dose that's required, which is important.
Yes, and then is this essentially one kind of vaccine that is ready, or we hear there are several, but maybe several aren't to this point of readiness yet?
Right, so the vaccine that we're receiving now, and our hub site has already received it, so that is the Pfizer. That requires the ultra cold storage. And so we've got a process all in place. That's something we can manage very effectively now. So the second one is the Moderna, and that's a different storage requirement. It's going to be a little bit different process. But all of our healthcare workers will be going the Pfizer route, and I know long-term care residents and staff, majority will be getting the Moderna vaccination. It's just to get all of this out as quick as we can to get, a better handle on the pandemic and hopefully get back to normal.
Yeah, right. And then, as I'm sure we'll be talking about this as weeks go on, but are we just going to start hearing eventually about now these people are eligible, now these people are eligible, it just seems like with 40 a week, I mean, that's not a pace that can really, you can't invite anyone over 70 to come get a vaccine for a while. So we just take it as it comes.
Correct. There's a very detailed plan that, you know, does evolve week by week, but it really breaks out the phases of vaccine rollout. And so this phase 1A is essential workers, specifically healthcare and EMS. So part of our first allocation will include our local ambulance service because they're the front line. We know they need to be vaccinated. And so then as we get a handle on healthcare providers in our region, like northeastern Minnesota and across the state, then we'll have some simultaneous work going on in long-term care and residents because they're frontline workers with Moderna. And then exactly like you said, then we'll expand the group to 65 and older and those with pre-existing conditions and then other high-risk individuals when that supply of vaccine can support that. And so we're working very closely with Lake County Public Health and all of our other partners on what is that going to look like. We don't know the exact timing yet, but we will be sharing on our Facebook page. We'll be doing newspaper articles. Public Health will be doing direct mailings. There'll be lots of information coming out that will really highlight what that will look like. And I'm getting a number of calls every single day from people asking, you know, when can I get it? Can I get on a waiting list? People are asking questions about it, which is great. I think I'm sharing what I know. And one individual said, I'm calling you back every week until this is done. I said, perfect. I'll update you as I know more.
Yeah, yeah, right. I think this is one thing you're not going to have trouble finding an interested audience about.
Not at all.
All right. Well, let's finish on just taking a slight step back. We've talked before about the importance of just wellness in general and having a healthy population so that we are better able to manage things like pandemics and other things that come down the pike that influence our health. And you have really been focused on this with your own staff for some time now. Do you want to describe the kinds of things that you're doing right there in the clinic and the hospital to not only promote wellness among your staff, but, you know, potentially be an example of what we should all be doing?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So in my head, the way that I look at this is I look at the pandemic, and we have really two kind of simultaneous approaches or strategies happening right now. So one is clearly the reactive. I mean, I think all of us in healthcare and public health, and I think everybody in our communities are reacting to a pandemic, something that came on unexpected. We know that we have people in high-risk groups that put them at more susceptible to illness and death and kind of long-term impact from this. So we're all trying to figure out how do we, you know, get a handle on this, and also the vaccine and all of that. The other side is kind of the proactive approach. And we're trying to do, we started that before the pandemic, but what we're doing is trying to take a proactive approach with our employees first. So let's run through a couple things that we're doing. You know, we purchased some fitness equipment to put in our break areas, you know, of course, spread out 6 feet. But when people are on breaks or lunch, they can go up and do some exercise if they're a desk worker or they just need to disconnect from the stress of work. So we've got an area set aside for that. Our wellness coordinator also set aside a kind of a quiet break space. It's up in our offstage hallway of our new building. Beautiful windows across the entire back. It faces the golf course and the lake, and there's tables set up. So you can go up there and have your snack. You can go eat your lunch. You can go take your computer up there and work in the sun for an hour if that's a place you need to just to disconnect. Again, really trying to focus on the mental health and the resilience piece. We also offer yoga to our employees. We're doing that a couple of days a week in both the morning and afternoon, where people can do it in person, spread out, or do it via Zoom. We have a lot of people doing it via Zoom. Again, just trying to, again, focus on our employees and preventing burnout. And it's a stressful time. And the last thing I would add around that, there's a couple more things. We're doing fitness challenges. So we have online or kind of virtual marathons and fitness challenges each month with winners announced and drawings. And the final piece is we purchase snowshoes and bikes.
Wow, that's a new one.
Yeah, we're excited. The bikes came, of course, we had an early kind of fall or winter, so we didn't get to use them yet. But in the summer, spring and summer, they will be available to check out before or after work or on the weekend. You come and grab a bike, you can do the bike trails. Again, we're going to encourage this during the work day to just get out of the building, kind of refocus, and then get back to work. Snowshoes in the winter, they're all ready to go. If we get some snow, you can jump on the trail and just check them out, no charge. And again, trying to promote that with our employees. And again, the benefit to all of that is creating healthier employees that, again, if we have another pandemic or we have other health challenges, we're just in a better position to deal with those versus reacting on kind of the medical model, which is what we've always done.
Yeah. I've got to believe if you have staff, I just like to picture the clinic and just at any time of day, just imagining a couple people like popping out the back with their snowshoes on, wandering around the golf course and into the woods back there and coming back. I mean, I just think the effect on just what's just the culture and the mindset in the clinic and the hospital would be momentous. I hope people use those things. I know that when we talk with our daughters about schooling, you know, and they're about to take a big test, I always just tell them, run around the block first, you know, just get your brain working again and breathe deep, breathe in that fresh air. And wow. So I think it's a really neat picture you've painted. I hope that it's an idea that spreads. And, you know, if your employees are constantly biking and snowshoeing and walking around town, you know, that sets a precedent. And we'll just see what happens with that. But it's really neat to hear about. I love, too, that you have windows, like you focus on bringing in the sun. I just think that is something that can be so easily missed in medical facilities. So well done. Have you gotten any response? It's all kind of new, but, you know, what are you hearing from your employees about this?
Our employees have really embraced this. I think, you know, we always have some challenges to work through with. Our biggest challenge has been our lean workforce. I mean, we have departments that have, you know, there just aren't a lot of people, so it's hard for people to leave the building during work. But our employees are doing yoga. I did an employee forum this morning where one of our employees really gave a testimonial to the benefit that yoga brought to her. She said, I never thought I'd be doing yoga. I never considered it before, but now that I'm going, it's really beneficial, and it's not what I thought it was. And that was fun to hear. We have people excited for the snowshoes, are just waiting for that first snow. I think the other piece that we need to keep focusing on is, like, I think about our leadership team. You know, we meet often and work through challenges and issues, and we should be doing that at least in the spring, summer, and fall. We could be doing that on the walking trail together when we could be closer where we can hear people. It's hard now. But we could do a half-hour walking huddle update versus sitting around in chairs in a meeting room.
Right. And again, what an example it would set for the town. You know, like, how many meetings could actually become walking meetings? I mean, wow. Just that alone, again, it makes my heart sing of the possibilities. So anyway, I think we need to wrap it up this morning, Greg, but thank you for your continued service to the radio, and have a wonderful holiday. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
That was great. Thank you. You have a good day as well.
All right. Bye-bye. Greg Ruberg, CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital.